This is Clean at Work with John Barrett and Sarah Baca.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Clean at Work. Today, we have Claudia Orozco-Gomez joining us, who I've had the pleasure of getting to know on the Agile Uprising Discord channel. And she's just a delight and an Agile coach, and we're so excited to speak with her today. Welcome, Claudia.
Thank you. Hello.
And then, of course, we also have our fabulous John joining us.
Yes, I'm here today. I'm super excited about having Claudia on here. Known Claudia for many years. She's been on a number of my trainings, and we've met a few times in London as well. So thank
I'm
you
John
for
fangirl.
What do you call him, Sarah? The groupies.
Yes.
Oh,
John's groupies.
I am. I'm one of your groupies, aren't I?
You should make an official club.
My God. Let's not do that.
And we're all excited that we're going to be able to see each other in person in October for Agile Coach Camp UK, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, if you did want to come, you can't because it's full. But we're going to talk about it anyway, and I'm sure we're going to do some live streams while we're there.
Oh, yeah. Just make sure everybody has some FOMO for next year.
Exactly. Yeah. There is a waiting list if you're really desperate. You can join on that. And you never know. Someone might cancel.
Claudia, you are here to talk to us about your usage of clean language. So we'll start with our first question. How do you use clean at work?
How I try is how I use it. No, there are like a few set occasions, like whenever I'm starting to work with a new team, I try and do a bit of clean interviewing, clean scoping. Not by the book. It's never by the book. It's good enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the rest of it is trying to remind myself to take my bias out of the equation. So if I can at least remind myself, then whenever it's in a group setting, I can try and bring that with me.
Yeah.
And the rest is just really, it's trying. So there's nothing official. It's working with humans. So, and my own humanity.
Yeah. We talk a lot in classes about how our allegiance isn't to clean, it's to whoever we're working with and what they need at the time. So I think it totally is wise to use it, you know, as makes sense rather than trying to be like perfectly clean and everybody thinking you're a weirdo.
Yeah. I think the word that it was, I do a lot of cleanish.
Yeah.
Work, so fit it in here whenever it's relevant.
And you talked about kind of trying to keep your bias out of the equation. Have you got any tips for our listeners of how you manage that? Because I know that's something that we all struggle with.
My biggest revelation about learning clean is realizing, because I've always felt like I'm a pretty opinionated person and I try and keep that to myself, but my thoughts are very loud. So it was that first coaching class with John and then the systems coaching class with John and Caitlin where I realized, wow, I've got a really, really strong bias on a lot of things. So my thoughts are really loud and it probably comes out in the way that I work with people. So just being aware of that has been a big gift. So any advice that I would give is first know when you are being biased. And that's probably the hardest part. So it takes conscious effort to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. Beyond those tips, it takes conscious effort. So be aware of your own bias. But also, there's another thing that I've realized in pretty big organization that I'm working with, not huge, big enough, big for me. But be aware of the organizational bias. So the department that I'm working with right now, it's very distributed over 5 locations, but because it's based in France and actually based in southern France, a lot of the way that things are communicated, things are decided, have that bias towards the French default. So it's almost a default. And so sometimes I have to be conscious of the fact that I have that privilege and some of these things, I won't see them because I am thinking with the people that I'm physically with in France. And so when I'm speaking to people that are in Germany, that are in India, that are in Spain, that are wherever else they are, I have to be aware of the fact that they don't see things the same way and they don't hear things the same way, because not only are they not present on site, but they don't have the same cultural baggage or cultural understanding. So some things that for people that are based in France and French, it just seems natural. And that's just the way it is. Like, that's a very French expression. It's just the way it is. But it's not the way it is. And it's not the way that it's interpreted somewhere else.
Interesting. Do you think you have a unique perspective too as an American living in France?
Yes, because I can see myself as the outsider. I can see myself as within this group because I'm physically present. Mm-hmm. And I can also relate as an outsider. I can call them out on these things because I can tell them, you know, that's really French, or that's really European, because sometimes it's what grouping are we talking about? So if we're talking about something that is a management decision, okay, well, does this apply to France? It does. Does it apply to Germany and Spain? It does. Okay, so it's European. Does it apply to India? No, it doesn't. Separate management system. Okay, so this is a European management decision. It is not a department-wide decision. Yes. So it helps bring clarity at that level. It's what are kind of like, it feels like there's a little bubble and we're trying to see how big that bubble is and does it touch other bubbles or not.
And with these biases that you said, the key is to kind of realize when you've got one of these biases. Have you noticed any kind of signs when you just notice yourself kind of going into one of those areas?
When I switch languages. So they're within this group, English is the official language, but we've established French is kind of like the home base. So I know when I'm speaking to a certain group of people in English, I know that we've got a bigger crowd. And I know that if I switch to French, okay, I'm turning into home base mode and I'm probably restricting. I've got my own blinders on. I've got my own prism and I'm not thinking about the wider group. It's a first indicator for me if I'm switching language. If I go back to English, I know, okay, there's somebody that's outside of the French group. Uh-huh. So I'm probably thinking wider than the home base.
That's great to have such a clear signal. When you say that you're cleanish, can you give us some examples or talk about ways that you use that?
I think it's mostly thinking about the way that I'm asking questions. So if I'm going to ask a question, if I'm in like an individual coaching session or team, maybe I'm facilitating a team event, I want to be sure that I don't have bias in my questions. I will sometimes because I want to direct a certain way. But if it really is an open question, that I have to be sure that that question, you know, I'm going to go back to the what and how and maybe not so much why, because John instilled that in me in a short period of time. Why can sound like an accusation, but I'm going to think about how am I phrasing my question and is it going to lead to something that it is possibly unknown? Or maybe it's something that I might see, I might know, but it's not known to the group. So it's cleanish. I do have my cheat sheet and I do go back to it from time to time. But other than that, it's just trying to think of what is the best way that I can ask this question, because it's going to take us one step further towards where we want to go or help us clarify what is that one step further. And how can I ask it in a way that I'm not going to bring in my own bias and I'm not going to go with maybe what is obvious.
And what impact is this having if you can do a before and after learning about clean language? What impact is it having on your work?
I think we all generally tend to have a little bit of self-righteousness in us when we work with groups. And so the impact that it had is I know that I think I'm right before I do something. Or before I say or do a lot of things, I'm assuming I have a right answer. Maybe not the right answer, but I have a right answer. And so going through, you know, trying to be clean about the way that I work with others and trying to be clean about the way that I see a system or show a system, it's being aware of my own self-righteousness and helping me see there could be many other ways that other people see it, because they're going to be at a different place. So they're going to have a different angle. They're going to have a different view on things. And I have to accept the fact that they're going to see things differently than I would.
That's so huge. I think it's so easy as a coach and a change agent to like get frustrated. Why don't they understand this? Why don't they see what's going on? It's so clear to me. It's really easy for me, at least, to slide into that position. And so to be able to check yourself once you realize how super different we all are, which Clean does really well, I think that's huge. We'd all be better coaches if we could figure that out.
That was one of my big moments from the systems coaching class, was we had to visualize our system. So I remember visualizing my system as a circle, because it's not very hierarchical. And when I had to position myself, it was immediate. I was in the center. And I said, but that's not where I want to be. I'm there because I'm trying to help everyone see the system. And I know it's not going to come across in the video because I speak a lot with my hands, but I could see that I was in the center and that people were starting to see the shape. So I have to slowly step out, which either means I'm inviting others to step in, or I'm just stepping out so that everyone can see this circle. And where I am now is I can see the circle. Everyone can see the circle, but I now have to help bring other people with me from outside of the circle so they can see this system. And what it translates to is I'm working with a group of other team coaches and agile coaches at organizational level. They need to also see the circle and see how the circle moves, see how it shifts, so that they can better coach these teams and have be aware of this is what it looks like from the outside, and it might look differently when you're on the inside.
And how has doing that helped the organization?
We're not staying, so I'm going from circles to bubbles, but we're not staying in our own little bubbles. So that's where we're trying to move, is as well. I'm coaching more at the organizational level, and sometimes I'll dive a little deeper in and I'll go to team level, but it's becoming more and more rare. So the way that it helps is the team coaches that I'm working with, they're able to little by little, hopefully, work at that level and step out to make sure that we're all moving in the same direction. Because when you're able to step out, you can very clearly see, okay, from my own little bubble, we were moving in the right direction, or what we thought was the right direction, but it's not the same direction as everyone else.
That's really vital when working with a group of coaches. Has it impacted your personal life at all?
Oh, I try. Less than I would like it to. We know this about each other, but I've got two kids and I'm married. So I try, and it's just, I think I'm much better at bringing it into my professional life than I am into my home life. And I try really hard, but it doesn't, I mean, when you're in the grind of your day to day, it's less easy to have that patience to do it. And sometimes I don't want to be clean with my kids. Sometimes I just want to tell them what to do, but it also makes me very aware of, okay, I am being bossy mom right now. I'm not being like open and curious mom right now, and wife too. I'm being bossy or naggy wife. I'm not being open and curious.
Yeah. It's when the children start doing it back to you that you want to start worrying.
That sounds dangerous.
I do hear it sometimes though. Sometimes when I hear, I mean, my son's younger, he's 3 years old, but when I hear my daughter, who's just about 8, the way she asks her little brother questions, that, oh, that was a nice question. It's a very nice way to ask him that. Because there will be sometimes where she'll say, well, what do you think about this? Or it's something I should probably take the time to appreciate more, to observe more, but she does ask really good questions.
So what's next for you on your clean language adventure?
I do not know, actually. I do consider myself kind of a generalist. So I dip my toes in here and whenever it works for me, but I think what I'd like to do is what I would like to have happen. And I'm looking at my thinking space over here, which is a white wall. I think it maybe practice. Practice and read at least one book, because it is helpful for me to read and practice. So if I've got something that's theoretical and I have a space where I can practice, then it's a pretty good mix for me. It's a pretty good combination. But I don't have anything explicit. I have looked into the clean coaching for ICF, but I don't think it's the right time or the right space for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily know that that's where I want to go. So nothing concrete, just maybe some more practice outside of my bubbles, outside of my circle.
That's great.
We've already heard that you come to Agile Coach Camp UK in October. What else is on your agenda for this year? Where else can we meet you and hang out?
Ooh, Agile 2024 in Manchester.
Yay.
I don't Ooh. Even know that tickets are available yet, but I will be there.
I will also be there as well. And if you want a super top tip, although it makes it a full-on week, the 3 days, the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of that week is also Adventures in Clean. So you can do Adventures in Clean, which is in the Wirral, which isn't too far, and then move on the Wednesday to do Agile Manchester. Wednesday to Friday.
If I abstract my family from the situation.
Yeah, if you abstract your family from the situation. It's the school holidays in the UK, so you could even, I don't know what it's like in France, but, you know, family holiday to some Agile camps.
So what happens at Adventures in Clean?
Never been myself. This will be my first year that I've managed to get that. I don't know if you've made it there before, Sarah. Perhaps we need to get someone on to talk about it.
Should. I did the virtual one during COVID, and it was symbolic modeling where we all got to watch them work with a client, and it was really interesting to hear people working through their stuff as their metaphor landscape changed, and then knowing a little bit about clean, being able to understand what they were going for with the questions that they asked, like, why did they ask that question? Where did that come from? And you can ask questions after the session is over to the therapist or coach or whatever. So you can find out what they were up to and what was going on in their brains as they asked those questions and stuff. So it was really, really cool.
So you question how you question.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think it's more kind of on the psychotherapy side of clean language with people watching by the sounds of it, and then you debrief it after. So
in person would be amazing, I'm sure.
And I don't know how much time we have left for a little chat, but there was one really, really big gift that I got out of the systems coaching class.
I'm not sure we've got time for this big gift.
Just leave everybody.
Go on, tell us the big gift. We're all waiting for it. We've built up the...
It's going to fall flat. No, we did a fishbowl on facilitating. So we were facilitating a conversation. Can't even recall the specifics of it, but just having somebody feedback to you how they felt during that bit of facilitation and what they observed. It was a huge moment for me because I do have a lot of energy. I do have a lot of energy in person. And I remember it was Aga who told me, I was drawn to you and I really wanted to be a part of that conversation. And your energy is contagious. And at one point you got nervous and I got nervous. And I could feel myself getting nervous. So just having her tell me, yes, your energy is contagious, which I could totally like see myself, okay, patting myself on the back, so happy for that positive feedback. And all of a sudden her turning it around and saying, so your energy is contagious, which means it's contagious both ways. If it's positive, you're giving that positive energy. And when it's negative, you are also giving that negative energy. So having that feedback was the hugest gift I ever received because I can now be aware of something that I thought was only positive can also impact people differently. And I do quite a bit of facilitation. So it has been priceless. Thank you, Aga.
That's great. Okay, we are about out of time. Is there anything else that you wanted to let the audience know about, Claudia, or anything else you wanted to say?
Besides contempt to curiosity has been a big game changer for me. And John, thank you for introducing me to all of these things. And Sarah, thank you for providing a space to talk and practice and cuss cleanly. I don't think I have anything else. Just maybe a little takeaway is try it out. It feels weird the first time around, but try it out and see how things can go differently and expect the unexpected.
Love that. Okay, thank you to Claudia for joining us, and thank you to our listeners. We will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.